I have been fortunate to have travelled widely throughout Africa in pursuit of my love of nature. So Southern Africa, I've travelled that very, very widely. I've been to East Africa quite a lot. I've been to Central Africa. I've been to West Africa. And I have experienced the natural wonders that this continent has to offer. And despite the sort of magnificence of the migrations of the Maasai Mara and the Serengeti and the wonderful experiences with gorillas and chimpanzees in the Congo Basin, and some of the excitement of West Africa, forest elephants on the beach at a reserve like Petit Luangwa in Gabon, for example, I'm absolutely confident when I say that South Africa offers, in terms of the combination of infrastructure and what you can see and what you pay for what you can see and how well what you see is being looked after, it is streets ahead of anything else in Africa. But that doesn't mean that everything is rosy. And I was really interested to read an opinion piece on Daily Maverick earlier today, written by Tony Carney, who's an environment writer, environmental journalist, who joins us on the line now from Durban. Tony, good afternoon.
Hi, John.
It is a very important question to ask. What are national parks and game reserves going to look like in 10 years, in 20 years, in 50 years? And you I wasn't aware that there had been the series of consultations going on to ask exactly those questions and see what answers come up.
Yeah, no, there's been a series of stakeholder meetings in the large cities and also in the communities around the park. Some of the meetings in the bigger cities were quite thinly attended, but I think it's still a very hotly debated subject on what the future is. And I think the big question is money. It takes a lot of resources to protect wildlife and to all the administration. But the wider debate really is what is their purpose? Are they there to pay their own keep or to act as a sanctuary area for wildlife?
And that has funding implications. If they're there to act as a sanctuary for wildlife, then a significant responsibility for the funding goes, I presume, to government. If they're there to pay their own way, then they're too broad choices. You either go as much of Tanzania has done, for example, and go limited number, and Botswana as well, limited number of very high paying visitors, or you turn it into a kind of almost Disney-like theme park.
Yeah, well, one of the points is you can go for that high return tourism model where it's very upmarket. And there's a lot to be said for that. The flip side of that, of course, is that they're also national parks, and they should be hopefully accessible to the general public and not be unaffordable. So it's really quite a dilemma. And then, as you say, if you then sort of turn them into Disney attractions, it kind of defeats the object of a national park, which I would think primarily is to allow other forms of life to have their space in the sun, because unfortunately the rate of change to the living spaces across the world is just accelerated so rapidly from around the 1950s. There's been fences that have been put up. Natural habitat has been turned into farming areas, and so the space is diminishing, and other forms of life also they have to have living space.
And we have, I mean, even if we didn't have state capture in South Africa, and even we didn't have the inefficiencies which lead to economic wastage in all sorts of areas of South African life, the South African government would still be faced with enormous socioeconomic challenges on which money needs to be spent more wisely and more honestly than is being spent at the moment. But that money still needs to be spent. And how do you promote the need for an area which is not much visited but is funded by the government in order to allow these other forms of life to continue to exist?
Yeah, it's a difficult one because the legacy of our country is that there's enormous social challenges in health, education, and when it comes to funding for conservation, it's kind of languishing at the bottom of the list, I think there is a need for more political support for conservation, and it can be difficult to sell in the circumstances where there's so many challenging social needs. But I don't think that at the same time that you can simply throw nature conservation out the window and say, you know, make your own money. There must be support. I think that's vital.
Tony Carney, thank you very much indeed. Environmental journalist on the line to us from Durban.